What do you think of when you hear the words, trust me? Is there an immediate question mark? An exclamation point? Or a period behind that set of two words? They could never be more reassuring or scary at the same time. So here's some scenarios I've gone through just to see if I'm all alone here. So I appreciate a little feedback. If you were walking through a crowd, just a crowd of people, someone you have never met before comes up to you and they have a recommendation for you. They've obviously observed just a little something about you that they feel they have something to offer you as far as a suggestion goes. Immediately in my mind would go a question or thought something like this. They don't know me. I don't know them. How can they have any insight into what I like or to what would be in my best interest? Just one of those. There's no relationship there. That comment would come out of so-called left field. It would take me a little by surprise. Now, I can think of one man in this room that probably would do that on a regular basis. That'd be Chad. He is rather observant, but he uses things that he observes to strike up that conversation, to start that relationship. He would see, for example, if Chad and Chad did not know each other, and Chad Sparks seeing the Cub shirt, conversation on. But it's one of those, as the relationship's built, the trust me starts to fall in place. So here, how about this? A different type. So there's the questioning type of trust me. It's the type you hear and you're just like, I'm not ready to hear what you have to say. I don't trust in anything you have to say yet. We don't have that relationship. Here's another type. The type of exclamation. They might not even say the words trust me, but with every word they say, they're screaming, pointing, and calling you to trust them. And I want you to think for just a moment. Think infomercial. The spokesperson gets all loud and proud to demonstrate the product that they have, that they feel and know it's the best for you. They say everything around the words trust me, because if they said trust me, immediately the TV goes off or the channel gets changed. I'd put money on that one. They enthusiastically do their best to earn or maybe steal your trust. Now, I have to admit right now, I have fallen victim in my life. There have been a few infomercial pitches that I succumbed to. The first one, I am the proudly and ashamedly owner. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like the AB belt. You remember those? They actually still have things like that on the market. I mean, what? You can get abs without doing sit-ups? I'm in. You put this belt on, and it's got these electrodes. Sorry. It's got these electrodes, and you can set the levels. Yeah. I'm always the dumb one. So you put it on, like, one. You try it on one. You're like, oh, what was that? I can, five. Like, what do you mean without sit-ups? It worked. Now, I mean, it did what it said. It stimulated the muscles. Wow, did it feel weird. As you can tell, I haven't exactly kept up with the regiment. Boy, that feeling was weird. I never attained that status where I was about to get the physique of those models, probably because I was overcome by more of those marketers of food. I seem to not be able to stay away from those more than most other products. The next one that's infomercial related that I can't exactly say I fell victim to, because I really actually liked it and used them quite frequently until I'm not sure where they all went. The Miracle Blade 2 Perfection Series. Wow, those knives, those were awesome. You didn't have to sharpen them all the time. They just worked. I don't feel, Tony, Chef Tony and I, through those infomercials, we're becoming better friends than he'll ever know unless he somehow gets a copy of this sermon, which I ask that you don't. But he didn't get me on the first try. Our relationship started the first time I watched, because who does not want to slice or chop a tomato in half by tossing it at a sharp knife? Come on now. And yes, I did try it. The first one didn't go so well. It was not as much of a slice, more of a mess. But I had to try it again. And I figured out my tomato was too soft the first time. Okay, so that's it. You've got to have a firm type tomato. Those heirloom tomatoes or whatever that Larry had, those aren't even worth anything except just gloves and just eating. That's not the type of tomato to throw at that knife. But it did live up to cutting through a tomato, or at least my attempt. I don't feel that I was taken. I didn't give away my trust and come away feeling disappointed in that product. Other ones, I disappointed myself. I mean, it did what it said, if only I would have stuck to the regimen. And here's my next example. This is more of that statement type of trust me. It's a little more subtle. It's when you have this business that has a product that they are so convinced that this is the product for you, you're going to like it. If you like anything that's like their product, you're going to like theirs. And they offer the money back guarantee. Sometimes even a product replacement and money back guarantee. Can you think of that? You go shopping once and you can skip a week or two because you can take that one back after it's almost gone. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But they do that to reassure you. They want to put a lot of risk on their side and take it off of yours. They're asking for your trust to make that purchase. It's just in a slightly more subtle way. They're not screaming at you, but they want to reassure you that they are there behind what they have to offer. So these are a few anecdotal type of illustrations on how trust plays a role in our everyday, but there's so many more. To the extent that I really want to mention them, we won't go into the same depth, though. But before we do that, we have to first understand what trust is. And so that you can trust what I say, we're going to go to our source, Merriam-Webster, rather than my own definition. So we're going to double check here from Merriam-Webster. Trust, they say, is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So now we're going to skip our marketing style references, but each of us today, we've already taken actions and we have placed our trust in someone or something today. Multiple times over. For example, we've placed our trust in our vehicles. We've placed our trust in the calendar. We've placed our trust in ourselves. And you are currently placing your trust in the pews. We have made it here in our cars. We trusted them to get here. We have all trusted that today is Sunday, thus recognizing and trusting the calendar. We are each dressed, even though I'm supposed to, as what public speakers are supposed to picture the audience in their underclothes, Well, everybody's dressed, I can assure you. Our ability to put on our clothes exists. We trusted in ourselves and we were able to accomplish that. And the last, I didn't really see anybody look at the pews and be like, holy smokes, is this going to hold me? Nobody checked it over that close. You put your trust in it. And so far, it's supporting just fine. The list could go on and on as we look at the things we place our trust in, some things we don't even recognize that we actually would be able to call that a trust. That the type of relationship is a trusting one in that specific instance. I wanted to bring some quotes from some people that have some more famous names that we might recognize from our world. And they have some thoughts about trust. From Ralph Waldo Emerson, he has this to say about trust. Wise men put their trust in ideas, not in circumstances. Sounds pretty good. Mary Renault, a writer, has this to say about trust. How can people trust the harvest unless they see it sown? It came up, but how did it get there? And one that we've probably all heard, actually, if you've been here, I know you've heard it. Ronald Reagan, trust, but verify. That's trusting, isn't it? But it's verified. If you look with me now, we're going to go into our scripture, because as much as what the world has to offer on trust, we need to understand why and who we can truly trust. If we go to Romans 4, verse 5, however, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And that's in the NIV. So I'm going to read, if you don't have the NIV, yours doesn't read quite like that. Uh-oh, I messed up, didn't I? How are you going to trust what I have to say now? So let's read that again. You can read up here, the Living Bible. It is given to those who do not work for it, for God declares sinners to be good in his sight, if they have faith in Christ to save them from God's wrath. Trust. Dan, is that a typo? No? Okay. So here, with that on the screen, again, I'm going to read you the NIV version. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Faith's there. Where's trust? Do we have a contradiction? Can we trust God's word now? They're different translations. Are they trustworthy? From our current culture, we have many opportunities to trust. From God's word, we are encouraged to be a person of trust, a specific type of person that trusts God. And Paul seems to be going old school when he introduces, according to the translators in the NIV term, they use the word trust. That word is all over the Old Testament. The types of trust that they get into are a little different, but yet the trust ultimately ends on God. The word Paul used in Greek that the NIV is translated as trust is pistio. This word is in the King James Version is translated more often than not to belief. So if we have a version other than the NIV, we're not reading trust. Instead, you're most likely reading a word that says believeth or belief. And in the other translation, it skips that and goes straight to faith. Did I mess up in my scripture choice? It might seem like that. It's missing the word trust. What do we trust now? Is God's word truly inerrant? It is, I assure you. So now let's look at, if we're going to understand this, where there's a word belief, so the same Greek word is translated belief in the King James Version, more than it's translated trust, which we found in the NIV. So it only says we have to understand what belief is. So we, again, don't go off of my definition. We go to Merriam-Webster. And belief is defined as trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. Now, wait a minute. They just defined belief with the very word before. Those two words are nearly interchangeable. If you have to define something by the other word, so let's make sure I understood that right. So we're going to look again to the definition of trust again. Firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. You heard that, right? Firm belief in the reliability, the truth, or the ability, or strength of someone or something. You can't define either word without one, without the other. So is there actually a mistake in the translation? No. They're still making sure to get the point across that Paul was writing and encouraging those he was writing to, the Romans. The definitions are so interrelated, they use the opposite word to describe each word we just thought we had an issue with. Here's how we can avoid those seemingly contradictions in the Bible. When we spend time in our Bible, if we make sure to use different translations, we can see and find those, and we can start to identify, does it really mean in the end, once you read that, the same thing? Not to take just one verse to one verse, but then to go with different translations, as well as taking that theme or topic throughout the entire Bible. By the time you have studied that in depth, you will know absolute truth about that theme or topic. You will know what and how God thinks specifically about that. You can trust God's word. People, that gets into a whole other realm. But here's how much we can trust God. From Psalm 56:4, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 56:4. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke. He will rebuke you and prove you are a liar. Now that's the NIV translation. So if those translators at all believed in the inerrancy of God's word, they absolutely understood what they're writing and understood the conviction and the accountability and the condemnation that was forthcoming if they changed God's word. If you ever come across a seemingly contradiction in the Bible, I assure you, don't lose heart right then. Let that draw you closer and further and deeper into God's word that you can understand that it's not a contradiction. It was just a different way of man trying to express in their words God's theme. From Luke, we have a couple of verses that can start to share with us what our part in trust is. Because we're not left just hanging and needing to trust on God. God's actually calling us that he can trust us. In Luke 16:11-12, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Luke 16:11-12. There are so many times that we need to be trusted, but so many more times that we need to trust others. And Luke is sharing words from Jesus that we are called to be a trustworthy individual. So those times when we have to trust others, there are also those times we have to be that person someone else can trust. To the point sometimes God has to trust us to carry out his will when we submit ourselves to him. Our world seems to be falling into times like that of Micah's day, when Micah writes in 7:5, "Do not trust a neighbor, put no confidence in a friend, even with the woman who lies in your embrace, guard the words of your lips," from Micah 7:5. That was an awful time Micah was warning the nation of Israel about. But yet if we look around us, it seems as though it's creeping in closer and closer to being as he describes. Deceit all around us. Everywhere around us we have false and misinformation, abuse of our trust. There are at times seeming misstatements from God's word if we let ourselves get taken by those. I assure you that when you come across anything that seems you can no longer trust God's word, stick to it, stick with it, and study further. And I assure you, God will make sure you understand that his word is inerrant. It is perfect, it is true, it is trustworthy. God is the one that can be trusted. Here's a closing quote from that of a man who walked this earth, Ernest Hemingway. He once said, "The best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them." That sounds almost biblical. Make no mistake that if you are finding yourself not knowing who or what to trust, I assure you right now, right today, God is the one. The one that has sent his son to be our security, to be our trust. Father, I come before you in awe of your extreme majesty, the plan that you've laid out that is perfect. Father, I pray that each of us here recognize that. And I believe we do. That's why we've chosen to come here today. Father, you are so far beyond and above what we can fathom. But Father, you want to relate to us, and you want us to relate to you in such a dire way. Father, you've given us your written word, perfect, true, and complete, showing us a love so deep and so broad and so enduring. Father, all you do is you ask us to trust in that. At some point, words can no longer gain our trust, Father, but your actions have backed up any and every word that you've shared with us. Trust is that point of taking words into action and proving them. And Father, you've proved yourself trustworthy time and time again. Father, as we see those around us, the rest of this world, starting to flounder, not knowing who or what to trust, Father, we trust your word right now. Father, we thank you that we can have something to hold on to. And Father, for those who aren't with us, we miss them. And Father, we put them in your trust. We trust them in your arms and hands, that you'll bring them back to us, that we can share our lives, our fellowship, and your love with them again soon. Father, we pray for this world, for this nation, for things that seem to spiral far beyond our control. But Father, we stand before you steadfast in our trust of you. And we thank you for that promise, for the one thing that can change our eternity from a negative to a positive. Father, we trust in the work that Jesus Christ himself has done to be the sacrifice that we cannot be. The promise you've given us of eternity when we trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Father, we pray today that all glory be straight to you. We want no part in it. other than to make sure that you are glorified. Father, we love you and thank you for the amazing, the awesome, and the trustworthy God that you are, the one true God. We love you and thank you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. We're preparing ourselves to walk out back into this world, away from the safety, the security, the place we can truly put our trust. This world doesn't know who or what to trust. They don't. I'll be honest, there are days sometimes I start to struggle with that. Quick examples are meeting your needs financially. Do you trust your employer, or is God using your employer to meet your needs? Do you trust God or your employer? Just some examples. Just thought-starting, thought-provoking as you look through God's Word. What do we truly trust in? If you bow with me. Father, we pray right now for your Holy Spirit's intervention that we can be filled, that we can be filled with discernment on who and what to trust. And Father, that we can be filled with a trust for you, that we will then be able to share with those that we come in contact throughout this world. Father, that they're struggling to understand what to trust and who to trust. Father, may we be prepared through the filling of your Holy Spirit, through the word that we've studied, your word. May we be able to share that with them and bring them into a trust that they can hold fast to. Father, we trust in you now to carry us through and perform your will according to your Holy Spirit's direction. Carry us now through the rest of our week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.